All right. Well, it's good to see you here on this Thursday. I always ask each week, how many of you, if this is your first time this week, to be here for Dine and World? Could I see your hand? Just so I can tell. All right, got a few. Delighted to have you with us. And I'll explain in a moment here. I'm going to get some batteries here, but we got this mic on, so we should be fine. We are in a series from the book, Loving God with All of Your Mind. The Lord Jesus said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And you cannot love the Lord with all of your heart and soul if you do not have the Spirit's control over your thought process. And so Elizabeth George, in the book by that title, looks at all the different issues that oftentimes women face, in particular, in things that can really trouble them and keep them from having the blessing of God in their life. There are five major sections in the book, and I have chosen one chapter from each section for the 5 days. So we're in the fourth section, which is on entitled Counting on God's Goodness. And this is really important because the view you have of God determines the view you have towards yourself and the view you have toward how life is going to operate. And many, many folks have a very skewed view of God because of their experience, maybe in their upbringing with their parents or with different authorities that were in your life or just life in general, maybe ongoing marriage troubles. But a lot of that can then get us to think thoughts about God that are not accurate. And not to be accurate about God is a very debilitating problem to have. And so this section deals with the importance of trusting God because you know who He is. First and foremost, and that was in the first, that's in the chapter two before the one we're going to look at. How can you, first of all, know God? You got to know Him through what the Bible says and believe what the Bible says. And many times, what God says about Himself in the Word of God contradicts your own thinking. And then if you know Him by what the Word of God says, then you need to meet with Him. In fact, we have a suggested model for prayer, just a way to pray for an extended period of time. And the very first section of that is spending time worshiping and praising God for who He is and going over the biblical truths of who God is. And that just changes your entire prayer life, and it will change your view, as I said, towards yourself and toward what God wants to do in your life. Then the chapter just prior to this chapter is knowing God's promises. If God is who He said He is, He has perfect integrity, He will keep His promise. And so when you know what God promises, you can rest in that, and it makes all the difference. I chose the next chapter because it's putting this into practice. And this is becoming faith-oriented. In other words, as you walk through the inevitable difficulties of life, you need to walk by faith, trusting what God says about Himself and trusting that God will do what He says about you. And you want to have that very strong perspective. And the verse that is the text for all of this entire section is a verse that many of you probably know by heart, and that is Romans 8:28. Wonderful verse if you do not know that. And that is, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." And folks, when you believe that verse, what rest comes into your soul no matter what happens in your life? And God does know what He's doing. But we have a tendency to not respond properly to God. And as a result, we don't trust others, and we just oftentimes are spinning in our life. You've all heard about AI in the last few months, haven't you? I'm very tempted to talk about it, but I won't do that, okay? But I've heard that AI is getting so human like humans, that when it makes a mistake, it blames it on another program. Actually, that's not too far from the truth. But anyway, similar to that, a cynic, and this is what happens to so many ladies and men, a cynic is a man, when he smells the flowers, looks around for a coffin. Sorry, that was not good. But everything is always from a negative standpoint. And, you know, honestly, many, many people live with a cloud over their head. Things can even be going pretty well, but there's just this sense of inevitability there's going to be another issue. And by the way, you know, in life, that's true. That is true. And so we can blame others, we can have a cynical view of life, but it all comes from a wrong view of the Lord. I love it when I see a little child. I'm a father of six, and now I have 22 grandchildren to be able to enjoy. And there's nothing like, now I don't know how much we should do it as dads for their sake, but you know how a dad will throw up a child and do all kind of things, and the child maybe is 4 years of age, and let's say the little girl is giggling and all, and mother, of course, is over there having a heart attack with what the dad is doing, but the girl's having no heart attack. She screams and hollers and laughs and giggles. Why? Because she has a full implicit trust in her father. And that's really what we're talking about. Your Heavenly Father is 100% trustworthy. And how important that is. So, what are you going to do when trials come? Because life on a sin-cursed earth is inevitably going to have trials. Trials can come from just natural causes. Trials can come from satanic attack. Or trials can come because God allows specifically things for our good. In all cases, all things work together for good. Let me stop here and give a little advertisement. We start a new study in face-to-face this coming Tuesday on trials, how to manage trials. And the introduction is going to be given this Tuesday at 9:15. And so we encourage you to be there for that special time. And face-to-face is very similar to this. We don't have the Dino World Theater. Sorry about that. But what happens here from this point on is basically the way it works. We have the teaching, and then we have table time, and then we have a workshop on a lot of practical things or spiritual things, and it's all done by 11, full child care. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to the ladies there at the table. But God is wanting to produce real faith in the life of each one of us. He's wanting to change us through whatever trial comes, whether it's natural, whether it's satanic, or whether God engineered it. And sometimes God does do that. And you know, it's not up to us to figure that out. It's up to us to respond in faith. I remember people would ask me when my son, we found out he had a massive brain tumor and did not have but weeks and months to live. And there was no one that's ever lived from that tumor. People asked, did Satan do this? Is this an attack of Satan? Did God allow it? Whatever. All I can say is God's going to work through it. And he certainly has. And thankfully, my son is a line leader today. And we're thankful for that at 44 years of age on Monday. So the Lord still, as far as we know, the only living survivor of that particular type of cancer as of a few years ago when we last checked. I hope others are, but we're very thankful for that. So God wants to develop our faith in him. Because, you know, when things are going well, who do we have a tendency to trust? Ourselves. And then if we've had trouble trusting others, we can be pretty caught up in ourselves and depending upon ourselves. And then when issues come, we have a tendency to get bitter at other people and frustrated and feel lonely and feel like we're spinning out of control. And God wants us to realize he is ready to take every circumstance and use it to good. Many of you may have heard of George Mueller. He was a man of great faith, great prayer. I would encourage you to read about his life. He was in England, a century plus ago, and he determined to, with this massive ministries, the massive ministries that he had, to just believe God to bring in the resources for it. And God really used him. Many, many stories of having no food, they'd sit down and pray and food would come in miraculously. You've heard of those stories. He talks about faith. He said, God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials, let me say that again, we ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means. I say, and I say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. Ladies, when you really understand that, fear goes away in your life because you realize that all things work together for good. Now, there are a couple of conditions in that verse. Number one, to them that are called. We're all called by God to be saved, but you've got to accept that calling. This verse is for those who are his children. We talked about the little girl, you know, well, that's her daddy. And friends, if you've never trusted in Christ alone for salvation, if you're trusting yourself or religion or membership or whatever, I want to encourage you, if you get nothing else out of this Bible school, by far the most important thing is the Word of God is true. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for you, paid the price for your sins, rose again, and he will forgive you all of your sins, past, present, and future, give you eternal life, and give you his righteousness by you simply exercising your will, going from being a rebel to saying, yes, Lord, I can't do it. You do it for me. You said you would. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the minute you do that, you will be saved. You will become a child of God for eternity. Well, that's a big deal, isn't it? And if you're uncertain about that, do not be embarrassed to talk to your leaders at your table. Just talk in the time here and just say, I'm just uncertain. They'd be glad just to talk about it because your soul is more important to God than anything else about what's going on here in this place. We've already had 64 people come to know Christ during this week up to this point. And we praise the Lord for that. And that's, of course, why we do all we do. Because a million years from now, those precious folks that trusted Christ, we're going to get to enjoy heaven with them. It's worth everything. And we want you to get that settled. So this matter of really being able to know all things work together for good has to be for, it's for his children. Now God's working in your life if you're not saved. That's why you're here. He loves you. He's drawing you to himself. All right, how do we then, getting back to this chapter, as we think about trusting the Lord, counting on God's goodness, and having a faith orientation, one of the first things you can do, according to what is written here, which I think is very good, pray God's word. Learn to be in God's word and then take God's word back to God in prayer. Every time you take God's word and apply it appropriately, I'm telling you, you can count on the fact that God will do what you're praying. Pray what the word says. And let God guide truths to guide your petitions. And if you've got a need for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. But be word-centered. When I pray in the extended time every day, I don't know how many verses, I probably ought to count it up sometime, but many verses I will pray throughout my hour with God because God wants to hear his word and he keeps his word. He never goes back on his word. And you talk about confidence coming into your soul. That's why you've got to be in the word daily. You've got to be studying it and memorizing it. And then pray the truth of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so you need to pray that and say, Lord, this situation I'm not real happy about. I'm real honest with God about that. But I believe that you're going to work this for good. Give me wisdom. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm asking for deliverance. But stand upon Romans 8:28. And by the way, read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. I don't have time to do an exposition of that. But go through that chapter and you'll realize that Romans 8:28 is not just being pulled out of context. It's far more powerful when you read the entire chapter and realize who you are with God, how that you're justified and God's working and God's even praying on your behalf. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. And then pray to be faith-oriented. Pray that you will not be feeling-oriented. Sight-oriented. Past-oriented. Remember yesterday? Lord, help me to be faith. Now, let me say this. It's very important. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not generic. I've got the faith. What do you mean by that? Well, I've just got the faith. Well, that really is not what the Bible's talking about. Faith is dependence upon a very specific truth. Let's take for instance, I have a chair there and I need to sit down. I will specifically, based upon the construction of that chair, as best as I know it, I'm going to sit down and put my faith in that chair. In other words, I have to have an object of faith. I can talk all I want to. I can talk about how that chair just makes me feel so good. I mean, I've got the faith. I mean, what a great chair. And I can pontificate. I could even tell you moving stories about chairs, you know, and have you crying, you know. But I'm not willing to trust the chair, you know. That's a sort of a dumb illustration, but I think you can get it. You have to have a specific object for your prayer. What's a specific object? Specific truths in the Word of God. I just gave you one 5 minutes ago. You put your faith in the finished work of Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's a specific truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word, the specific words of God. And so that is so crucial. And so don't get mixed up. We're not talking about feelings. In fact, faith is the opposite of feelings. And I want to tell you many times when it comes to exercising faith, it's going to go opposite your feelings. You're scared and God says have peace. You're feeling sorry for your child, but they disobeyed and God has a method for you to discipline your child. You may have reactions to your husband, but God has very specific truth about faith-filled action towards your husband that will please God. If you go by your feelings, you will become extremely self-centered, you will be emotionally driven, and you will be driven down by your emotions. We've all been there, haven't we? Man, when emotions get out of control, it's really dangerous. But faith is based upon truth, and it is based upon specific applications to your life. And when you determine whatever the Bible says, you're going to trust it and then step out by faith to believe it, your life goes from feeling-oriented to the great confidence and the concrete reality of thus saith the Lord. Isn't it encouraging just to hear the truths about dinosaurs and the flood and giants and all that kind of thing? It just encourages your heart, doesn't it? And it's amazing how unbelieving mankind battles against that. And your flesh wants to battle against it. But when you just be determined, God's word is true and I'm going to trust it, everything changes. In fact, let me just say, mothers, that when you have problems with your children, instead of being frustrated, God's going to work all things together for good. In other words, you've got to see where the issues are with your children to be able then to apply truth to solve the problem with your children. I hate to tell you, no perfect child has ever been born. Your child is a sinner as much as you are. Sorry about that, but that's the case. They're just a chip off the old block, okay? The Bible says so. And so, same thing in marriage. People just, my marriage isn't perfect. Duh. You're in the marriage, you know. Don't ever marry a perfect man, you're going to ruin him, you know. But I'm in the marriage, you know. So the fact is, aren't there going to be issues? The issues show us that we can look to God. All things work together for good. And God's going to take the things that seem so frustrating, and if we'll have a faith grid, realize that's the very opportunity for God to apply truth and for you to have miracles of deliverance. It's really exciting, folks. You know, folks will come in and say, Pastor, I'm so sorry to have to reveal that I've got these problems or our marriage has these problems. And I say, I'm sad for you, but I am really happy you've chosen to come in, because now that we're talking about it, this is something that's been probably going on for some time. Now we can get down to work and we're going to see God work. And so I'm excited. And I really mean that. That's what you have to look at. Faith to faith to faith. Steps of faith. Walking in the Christian life. You will find that over and over. And so we must trust in God's good purpose. In this chapter is a wonderful section on Joseph. Joseph, the son of Jacob, who went down to Egypt. Most of you at least are familiar with that story. Here was a man that had a vision from God as a 17-year-old teenager, and then everything went wrong from that point on. Sold into slavery by his own brothers, and then betrayed when he was in slavery, and all kind of disappointments, but he kept walking with God. And God turned what happened to him into the deliverance of Israel during that major famine. He became second to Pharaoh and was able to deliver, and he never got bitter. In fact, he said, God allowed this for your good. And I'm willing to have gone through it for the good of the cause of Jehovah God. And it's a great, great story, and you can look at it at your table time. But one final thought before I have you go to table time. There's one, what phrase did I leave out of Romans 8:28? To them that love him. There is a key here. God's working all things together for good, period. If you are saved, if you've accepted his calling. But you will not experience and learn from it if you don't love him. You remember, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. You've got to make the middle choice to say, I love God, and even though it seems like he's disappointing me and things that I want aren't working out, if I really love him, he's doing something in me that is going to further his purpose, and therefore I am fully resting in his goodness. And not only do I believe that he loves me, but because he first loved me, I love him. And I believe that he does have my best interest. I remember as a child, and especially as a teenager, when I just decided in my heart, my parents have my best interest in mind. And they love me. I can trust them. And I remember turning around at that point, and I'd always loved, you know, kids always love their parents, but I chose to love my parents. And I had a much deeper relationship with them that it went into adulthood that was very, very precious because I loved them. And then everything they wanted to do just worked out much better because my attitude was right. So if you really want to get a hold of Romans 8:28, put him first. Don't remember, if we're going against him and not loving him, there can really be, I mean, a lot of the circumstances are going to have to be chastening rather than just developing us. We don't want to be in that place because he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I've had a few spankings, and I'm very thankful from the Lord. Every one of them have been just perfect. But it's so much better just to take the trials and to let God work in our hearts. You got a lot to talk about at your tables, okay? And you got some sandwiches to finish. So we'll let you get going there.